Welcome back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons, founder of Unlock the Magic Coaching and Healing, and the facilitator of Magic School. I'm joined today with Miriam Raquel Sands. Miriam Raquel Sands is a clarity coach, work strategist, and podcast host of The Clarity Shift. She helps mid-career professionals, freelancers, and solopreneurs find their footing at the edge of change. After a decade of navigating every side of the working world, employee, contractor, freelancer, consultant, and business owner, she built a system to turn uncertainty into the clarity and freedom that you need, the Triple P method. Miriam, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
So you've done it all.
I believe so. Knocking on wood.
Oh my gosh, we're going to get into so many things, but yeah, I'm at this place in time where I'm not ever going to be kind of like one thing ever again. And that doesn't necessarily fit with the old way of thinking.
Yes, no, exactly. And I don't think it ever has. I mean, there's so many of us that are multi-passionate that when we were even asked the question, or some of us not even asked, but forced, thrust into this world of like, you got to pick a major, you got to go to college, you have to do this stuff. And it's like, whoa, I don't even know who I am. I don't even know who I'm supposed to be or anything. And so I hear you. Like the old paradigm is just, it's been old. It's been antiquated and just, it's not fit. Maybe it's fit for some, but it just hasn't fit for the most of us who resonate with, who have this feeling.
It's funny you bring up college because I think it's absolutely wild that we ask kind of a child, not kind of, your child. I mean, yes, 18 is the
Yeah, yeah.
But you're kind of a child still. You're a teenager still.
Right,
and
right.
asking, hey, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And I mean, personally, I changed my major 5 times.
I was going to say 3. Yeah.
3. I fell into corporate marketing and I was like, oh, this seems cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And just kind of set up camp for 20 years. And then I was like, oh, wait. Oh, wait. And that's the system. Those are the systems that were never designed with us in mind, dating back to the beginning of time, us being anybody outside of a particular
That's right.
Type of person. And it depends, you know, depending on what you subscribe to in life. I feel that we all chose specifically to be at this space and time on this plane to experience these systemic changes that we're experiencing.
Yes.
And is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be fun? Probably not. And we still came here to experience it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's like daring to create an existence that we all deserve that we haven't quite ever seen in this lifetime. And
That's
all
right.
that I just shared,
Yes.
did I know that at 18? No. Did
No.
I know that I was here to do that? No.
No. And this may or may not be relevant. I mean, I'm picking up on things that's happening in my life right now. And we were just watching this Love is Blind Brazil. And the only reason I bring this up is because the latest season is people over 50. And I was asking my husband, I'm like, would we ever see something like that here in the US, in North America? And the way that they espouse, a guy in his 60s has 4 jobs in Sao Paulo. And it's like, wow, like I don't pretend to know all the different variants of people's lives at any point in time, but we don't need a box to put ourselves in. And we're allowed, we should be able to grow and pivot and change whatever safety looks like. I mean, I feel like that was the trap sold. I mean, both my parents are immigrants. And so this idea of you need safety, you need security, because safety and security is, I mean, we can say it hasn't ever existed here in the US, much less in the places that were colonized and all these other places. But it's just like there's this deep need for us to feel safe. And so we're looking outward of ourselves. And I get that. And at the same time, why do I want to outsource my safety when I don't even know what safety is inside? And it takes time to get there. So,
but that's how we were raised. I have boomer parents, and I keep reminding them that the world that they both created and grew up in no longer exists. And so this notion that, yeah, the safety and security lives outside of you, we're actually at this moment, we're being asked to turn back inward. And that's where I beautifully realized my work here on this plane as an energy coach and healer. It's like, how do you turn back inward? And that's what magic school is all about, is reigniting your intuition and trusting your first instincts again when you
Yes.
may never have. It's like, what's your actual voice? What is it, something you genuinely feel and think? And
Yes.
it's so hard because it starts so early the moment we get here. We start going to school and it's all beautifully coming to a head in a way that we're being asked to navigate it for ourselves. And if you don't give consideration to what this particular time and space is bringing up in you, whether it be pain, anger, frustration, feeling lost, anything, any of the feelings, if you don't give pause to consider why it's coming up for you, it will continue to get harder for you.
I mean, I didn't know I was going to start this type of business of being a career coach or work strategist or whatever we're going to call
Right,
it.
whatever we are, right? It's
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Because I had so much shame and struggle with the word career because I was like, what does that even mean? I thought that it was you stay in a company, ideally a company or an industry, and you stay there, and then you rock it out until pension or retirement or whatever. And when I started that path, I'm here based in Northern Virginia, like 30, 40 minutes from Washington, D.C. I mean, everything is government in this area. Whether you're not really in the government, it's pseudo government associated. There's contracts everywhere. And that's how I started my line of work. And I really hate is a strong word for me, but I really hated it. I was getting paid good money straight out of school, had college debt. And then I was like, you can pay me as much as you want. And I can't sit at this cubicle and just do contracts for the government. No shade to the people who can, but it's just, I can't, I couldn't. And so, to what you're saying, recognizing the feelings, that recognition is so important. Because if we oppress or suppress or deny, it's like, well, there's power in that, and we're not tapping into that, even the littlest bit. And that gives so much knowledge. And that's so hard. That's so hard, is the emotions.
Yeah, because it's not really fun to feel your feels all the time, and it's not meant to be. And oh, that's the work. That's the ask right now. And that's honestly how you're going to feel better or feel okay in a time where nothing can feel okay.
Oh
So
my.
my newsletter last week was creating your okayness.
Oh.
And it's just by any degree, it's like we still get to choose. And there are people that are physically not able to choose their okayness because they're not in a safe space, like
That's right.
genuinely right now. But I would hope, even in those spaces, that you can turn inward and find something within you that feels safe. Go into your heart space, go into your solar plexus, if you know chakras, go into your sacral, go into your root, go into your crown chakra, and go to your ancestors and see if they can lend support by any means. So
Beautiful.
I guess what I'm feeling into, and I'm not sure if you agree, is like the safety is actually turning back into our own energy. The safety is our energy. It's
100%.
and it's actually, I'm having kind of an epiphany at the moment. Of course it is, because we're being asked to detach from material and physical things.
Yes, 100%. I mean, the bio you read is new, and I just say that because something that you're speaking on is this framework I bring, the triple P, and I wasn't trying to be ooh, like just like pulling the, I don't know, like a tricky or a magic trick or something. But something I talk about is like first our purpose. What is it that we want in this moment? And I don't mean the whole what is your purpose of life, even though we could get into that, but it's more like in this season of my life, do I need to hold down the fort and do a 9 to 5, even though that doesn't fulfill me, but that's what I might need for whatever X reason? Is this the time to transition into business and spread my wings, however scary that might be? So the intentionality. So I love that you said about the energy, because I mean, I love your whole vibe. I have all the chakras tattooed on my right arm. That was one of my things in my whole job hopping thing, is I'm like, I'm gonna take a break and I'm gonna do my yoga teacher certification. And I took time for that. And I feel like it's so important to be selfish, honestly, honor ourselves, because whatever fill in the blank, job, people, industry, like whatever it is, however much safety they might advertise, like you get all the 401k or you can climb this ladder, like whatever it is, it's really in ourselves. And it takes time to practice that, like what you were saying about tuning into the root chakra and the crown chakra. But the more that we get into that, the easier it becomes when the shit hits the fan. If things
Amazing.
happen, then it's easier because it's like, okay, I can pivot myself. I'm not waiting on an outside source. Like I'm my own flashlight. Yeah.
I just sang to myself, "You're my flashlight" from Pitch Perfect. "You're my
Oh
flashlight." And
my
then
God,
I also, my newsletter is called The Lighthouse because I'm a lighthouse. I get to find and remember my own light so that I can shine my lighthouse into other lighthouses and we can all beam together, whatever that looks like. And it's considering that you're not going to necessarily, maybe you don't feel like shining every day. Yeah. Cause shit's hitting the fan in different ways. And when you can come to a place where it's like, oh, I'm a soul having a human experience. And from a soul plane, isn't it unfolding exactly the way it's meant to in this time and space so that we can experience the great systemic change? And isn't it true that we can't keep building on top of the old systems that were not built with everybody in mind? So, and as a human, that's pinchy.
Because this whole idea that we can control things, that is why the whole going back to like a career trauma, PTSD, all of that, like undetangling is what do I have control? Like I remember having conversation with my mom. She's in her 60s, I'm in my 30s. And so talking about like generational and just disconnect stuff, she thought, "What's your 5-year plan, Miriam? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Ma, I don't even know. Like, what's tomorrow?" Like, why are you coming at me with the future, with all due respect, when I don't even know what tomorrow is? I didn't even know. I didn't know that I had to have a student loans. I didn't know that I had to pick a career. There was so much unknown on top of just life in general that is unknown. And it was just so much. So I don't like planning. I like guidelines. And then we pivot and then we adjust.
I mean, yeah, nothing wrong with goals, nothing wrong with planning, nothing wrong with all of that. And, but, and millennials are the first generation I feel that have gotten the first real glimpse, not suggesting X didn't feel it too, but I think millennials are the first ones that in a really big, really, really big way have felt the bottom fallout of whether you want to call it, I don't know, the American dream or what boomers experience, which great, but it's just not here anymore. And I was explaining this to somebody the other day. Millennials were like, okay, let's go to college. And we had 9/11 and we never flew the same way again. And then we went to graduate college and we had a recession. It was like, oh, just kidding. And I'm not suggesting every generation doesn't have their thing. A dear Gen X friend of mine reminded me lovingly. She said, okay, but Gen X is the first generation that women wanted a full-time job, but still run the household and have kids. It was like the first generation that they were doing all of it. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. So everybody has something, but it feels like millennials are the first ones that were just like, can we just, and everything being so outdated. You mentioned 401ks. Y'all, 401ks were created after the depression, so it made it easier to invest in the stock market. So why do we still have 401ks? And like, does it make sense for 2025? I don't know. Just we could probably uproot everything.
No, 100%. And the piece about technology is so interesting because I remember having the full on, I mean, we're in the third dimension, but it just looked very blocky, 3D type, cube computer and a floppy disk. I'm a 92 baby, so I grew up with floppy disk and my dad had a pager. And then seeing, okay, now we have a boombox. Nope, now we have a CD player. Nope, now we have an iPod. Nope, now we have like the third version of the iPod. And it just happened so fast. And we all know this, or I think that we catch up with it. They're like, "What? What?" I was just talking to my husband. COVID happened 5 years ago. It's so fast, and I think that's the thing that myself and I'm sure people in my generation experience is that now there's AI. And I've worked with some Gen Z people before, and they're 100 miles an hour. They have no chance. If I've tried to slow down, they don't even know what the slow is. It doesn't even exist in their paradigm. And this is where I feel like being a solopreneur, being a job hopper, a freelancer, like whatever we want to call it, but really just using, I lovingly say, repurpose the corporate ladder, because there are people that want to use it. Like, I have friends that, okay, that's you. But for those that, like, I just want to run my own rules, and I'm not there to just jump ship, but I need to use it. Like, do what you need to do, honestly. I'm here to play the game my way. And I really hope that others can do that, because at the end of the day, we know that all of this is run top down, and it's not in our favor. So what do we, talking about control, what do we have control over that is in our favor that we can? And that's something that I really try and promote.
I think there's just been such a shift with not only generationally, but also it's almost like there's this massive permission slip right now for workplaces to be unabashed about who they do and do not want in the workplace. And so we're seeing all of this unfold. And imagine being a person that really loves the corporate gig, like once the ladder and all of that, like you've been asked it because of this big permission slip. So I think there's also been a shift with when I first came out of college. It's like, I want to be a millionaire and I want to be so rich and all the things. And that has shifted since I got into my 40s. Now I'd love to just, I want to make a living that supports me being a good steward for myself, my neighbor, and the land. And it feels like more and more shifting into that. And there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with it being part of the equation, as long as it's not the only equation.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the big thing. For me, I never thought about savings, partially because that's something that the way I was brought up. I mean, I'm fortunate that there was always food on the table, but it was really, making ends meet. And so for me, there was never this, you have a safety cushion. So when I got in debt, and I got in debt twice because I was like, school is the answer. So I went back for a master's. And then I dropped out from that master's. So I had a combined of like $60,000 in my early 20s. And so for me, there was no conception of savings, even though I was hearing, and on social media, it was like, women need to save, and especially women, because I'm not trying to get married or like rely on another person's income. And what if I never get to 100,000 or whatever the marker is? But I say all of that because the only money motivation was to get out of debt. Like, that was very clear to me, was just, I just want this, that the means justify the ends, or whichever the expression is, ends justify the means, so then I can get out of debt and I'm not obliged to be in a system that I don't want to be a part of and probably doesn't like me either. I just don't like being told what to do. I don't like having managers. I'm all for being a team player, but when the team is, there's so much office politics, and are you being real with me? Are you being a human being? I can't operate in that way. So let me make this work to get out of debt. And I'm thankful to say, I've been telling my husband, now I turned 33 this year, am I now starting to think about savings? But not even like we were talking about 401k or any of that. It's just being a steward of my lifestyle, of the land, of the things that matter to me, not even to be a cog in the larger mechanism. But all of that took time. Time is the most non-refundable. It is the most precious for me, I think, because it's like I can enjoy this moment with these people or do this gig and I can learn something and take it into my business. But it's in my terms now, because I'm investing my time and energy in that place, and repurpose it, recycle it, restructure it, whatever it is, into something that I can sell, or I can blow up in my own way, or I can go live in my van and do whatever I want. But time, I feel like, is the biggest commodity that we're robbed of. So my biggest thing now is, I have a friend, well, a couple friends, one with the whole USAID thing that blew up. She pregnant, lost job. Another one, she's a lawyer for the government. Now the whole government shut down. And these women plan, like they really wanted to be in these situations. They thought that this was safety, security. That's what they were sold, or that's what we're all told. And now they have so much time. And I hear them, oh my God, now I can actually enjoy the child I want to have. I'm like, yeah, mama, of course. Like, this is why. I mean, I'm sure I don't have a child myself, and we don't want kids. With all due respect, that's the life we want to
Same,
live.
same.
Yeah. And I'm just like, live the life you want to live. So if you need that time, then get that time. It's not about for me. There's a lot of things with money, but it's like money can only help some of the way. If we can't give ourselves the time and the energy, then so what if the money comes?
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
just a balance of everything, and it's I think we're shifting into this beautiful time where, and there's certainly some generations saying like everybody's getting selfish. I was like, I hope so. And again, I'll speak for myself as a I'm an elder millennial, so I'm a decade older than you. I was taught to always think of others, be polite, be good. And the thing is, I'm not suggesting it's easy. Like I talk to some older generations, and they genuinely cannot change at this point. If we were to talk about time and energy and space, they probably just leave the room. They have no capacity for it. Many don't, because it's just not something that they're interested in, not interested in entertaining. And that's creating such a gap between the generations. And so it's interesting that you talk about Gen Z running so fast. I've met so many Gen Zs that they're so intentional and slow and calm. I'm like, I love Gen Z. They're just giving no fucks, and it's amazing. Millennials started it, and then Gen Z's coming in and being like, yeah, let's hold this up, and we're not doing this anymore.
I love that. And maybe that's a thing I should mention. The Gen Z I've met in corporate settings. So, and this is the thing, I feel like it's interesting to see, regardless of generations, because I've met people, I'm trying to think back, because I think like at least 6, 7 years ago, I did a job as an editor, but it was a language, like they teach people different languages, but primarily diplomats and things like that. So I edited curriculum for that. And it was one of the worst and best jobs because I got to work with 7 different languages. So Somalia, Hebrew, Brazilian Portuguese. It was phenomenal. And so what I'm saying is one of the ladies I met there, we're still kind of friends, and she's in her late 50s and she's an entrepreneur. So she's an immigrant. She's like, I tried doing the corporate thing. I tried doing that. And I find it so fascinating. This is why in my business, I'm like, I don't limit by gender or age or demographic, because I'm like, if you know who you are, or you have an inkling of being a freedom seeker, you just know that the structures, the systems that be aren't meant for you, then let's get you your tools. Let's embody, empower, lift you up. Because I mean, she's in her fit, she's got kids, she's doing her own thing, and she's still, maybe some people love you, mom, but maybe my mom would be like, not me. And because of, I don't know, there's a values thing. So I just say that because I think maybe Gen Z is also going through that. Like some people are going into what's safe. I don't know, versus what's free.
Same. I never like to broad brush generations or any sort of group, but I think it depends on so many your lived experience, how you're raised, what you're feeling now, what you're subscribing to, what you've had your own fill of, what you personally tolerate. It all gets to be this space and time where you choose you. So that you can figure out what your okayness looks like day to day. And it doesn't have to be all day, every day, but allow a little bit of okayness into your life so that you can remember that life gets to be magical and beautiful. And it's not always easy all day, every day to tap into that. But if you can allow it just by any degree, it's so critical right now.
Yes, no, 100%. I mean, I've been a consultant for the past couple of years because it's helped me kind of feel like, okay, I didn't feel ready to fully commit to my business, full transparency, because I did have the car loan, and I was like, I just don't want to feel like I have that weight on me or on the business. So this year I bring that up because I was still consulting early this year, and it felt so wild, like this administration just gutting the cultures from the inside out. And I was feeling a lot of ick. I mean, I know we all are, but I was just like, am I okay getting paid to help remove things from their website and be a part, even if it's half of a drop, like whatever percentage I'm participating in this? When it came down to me doing it and me having to, okay, am I okay with what I'm doing for a couple months? Because I knew that it was going to pay off my debt, but I knew that the longer story arc of this is I'm going to out them because I don't care. I didn't sign a non-disclosure agreement. They're called the Development Finance Corporation. They're like USAID, but they focus heavily on the financial aspect. So they supposedly, I don't, I was not, I was just in the marketing web part of it, so I don't know the intricacies, but they invest in other countries in the global south, in other parts, to build supposedly support infrastructure in the environment or in women doing businesses. And it was all over the website. Women 2X initiatives, environment initiative. And these were the things we gutted, was just remove this. And I could see, and I mean on the team meetings and everything, I was like, that's trauma for me right there. Like all this work and blood and sweat and tears that we're trying to represent, that supposedly this agency is committed to and has been committed to. I don't know how long they've been in existence pre this administration, and to just bulldoze it. And now it's been, I left that, the contract ended back in March, so it's been some time, and I look at their website and the flag and just like all the thing, and it, no disrespect to the flag, but it's just the things that I'm sure the people that signed up for that agency. And I was only there for a blip, but I don't know, something that I sit with and I don't have the answers to at all, but it's like, at what point is money, or at what point are we doing something for survival, for safety, that at the same time is removing and is devaluing and is in direct conflict with our ethics? Like for me, I'm very glad it was just a 2 month, very short thing. I was like, okay, I'm in and I'm out. And I wash my hands, and I'm not, I'm I've this is why I don't like being in corporations, because we have to take on the culture on our LinkedIn. We have to represent, we're ambassadors. And if that culture changes without our acceptance of that, without our acknowledgement, like, yeah, this is what I continue to sign up for, then that's going back to the choice. It's like, what is the choice? I can't make that choice for anyone, putting food on the table or being okay for a time. You know what I mean? Like, these are the questions that I also strive to help clients with, is like, I can't answer for you, but we create the parameters. We're like, okay, what is your priority? Are you caretaking? Do you have debt? That is the priority for me, pragmatically. But as soon as you're able, yeah, you get the F out. Because you don't want to lose your sanity and your essence in that, and creating that division while you're there, that level of performativity. So yeah, that was a lot, but I just wanted to say that witnessing that and being a part of that is part of all of this year, and I'm sure the next years to come, and it's very hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's just part of understanding everybody gets to identify their non-negotiables. And it's going to vary by every individual person of it, of what that non-negotiable is. So,
I know.
so Miriam, what are you excited about? What's coming up for you? What moves are you excited to be making?
Oh, well, I'm excited that I'm fully in my business now.
Nice.
I'm just so excited. I finished my last consultancy, and I've put myself in a position where I can not have to focus on the finances. I just want to show up for people and see what comes up, and just have that space of like, okay, how can I help people? What is coming up now that I can really speak to and be of service to? So I'm just excited to fully commit, because I think that having that one foot in, out, whatever it is, like if some people are working and then doing some sort of side hustle, or maybe they were in a side hustle and they're trying to get back into work for whatever reason, it's hard to straddle two worlds. And it just feels good to give in that space. So.
Perfect. That leads into an article I believe you wrote recently that I wanted to talk about a little bit, because I think what we've showcased here is that, yes, you and I both are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, and we've been in corporate and what feels good, what doesn't feel good. But you write about navigating corporate life without losing yourself, how to stay with strategy, not survival mode, especially those folks like they can't leave, like they're for one reason or another, they're non-negotiables or their parameters. So you write about the corporate system wasn't built to nurture you. Most corporate structures weren't designed to honor your creativity, care about your nervous system, or align with your values. So tell us more about this article and how you describe navigating the corporate life based on what you need in life and keeping your whole self, even if you don't feel like you can bring that to your corporate life. What do you say, and what's this article about?
So the origin of the article is I've was trying to speak to my audience clearly because I've worked with both. If we're trying to kind of organize, I said that I don't do demographic stuff, but the one clear thing is I do work with people who are starting their business, like let's say they're year one, year zero, they've just started, or they're still in the kind of corporate world and they know that they want. So there is this kind of self-knowing. So that's why I wanted to do something that kind of addresses both. And so there's that context. And then the navigation piece, that's the piece that I feel like it varies, I'm sure, industry to industry. I am planning, I want to do a whole series of like what it looks like to work for government versus the private sector versus nonprofit, because I feel like the world of work is its own umbrella. And as we tease things, it's like the way you might be able to perform or optimize in one area might not be the same in another thing. What has helped me is when we talk about energy, like knowing that I'm an introvert, like I can be ambivert, I can be extroverted, but in doses. So a very practical thing for me has been time blocking. So I will put, unabashedly on my calendar when I was consulting or in a 9 to 5, at this time is lunch, at this time is deep work. And that already can be a challenge for people who were taught we need to be on 24/7. What do you need? Is there a Teams call? Let me do this ping, this email. So that acknowledgement of where's my energy? I need, what do I need? I would take naps in the car, in the garage. So it's not glamorous in the navigating, but it's like, how can I fit my needs in the best way I can in the environment that I'm currently in? COVID was great for me. In the sense of, I realized, wow, what a big difference working remotely was, and then taking that with me. And then also, I will say, in terms of like the navigating people part, that can be challenging in the sense of I tend to be an open book. And so I feel like I would trust people. And this is where the office politics and like the gossip and all these things, I was like, oh, okay, I'm realizing. And this is the part of navigating is, unfortunately, and I don't think I put it in the article, but this element of trust is eroded, especially when we're supposed to be a team. That whole, what is a team? This fallacy. And so I will say that again, developing that self-trust that you're in this for yourself, and what are your parameters, your non-negotiables, focusing on that. The more you can hone in on that, the easier it is to let go when you need to let go, or talk to HR if you're committed to the corporate environment, even though HR is not your best friend, it's not there for you all. But having that paper record of things is important. So yeah, I hope that that article was helpful. And I tried to like straddle the two because they might not identify as each other, but that selfishness or that getting to our core, I think is relevant for both people or both groups.
Yeah, and what about beyond the navigation of wanting to maybe stay in? Gosh, as we start to wind down, what would you say to the people who had those parameters in place, those non-negotiables, and then there's a layoff? Part of me used to feel the vibe of like, don't wait for the layoff, meaning if you get the sense this isn't for you, try to reclaim your power and get out before it gets to the layoff. But also, that's not always possible, of course. And we're seeing this on such a global stage right now. I don't think anybody's really planned for any of this? I know we talked about a lot about control, but what else would you share for those people? Because I've also heard people being like, that was the best gift ever, even though it was like it brought on a hardship, in some way. So knowing there's a lot of people in this exact space right now, what would you share with them?
The first thing that came to mind for me is spirituality. I don't consider myself a religious person. I'll just say that because I have friends who are in certain dogmas and things, and that's fine. But I love to cultivate from all sense of belief and mysticism, especially. And I say lean into that because when we're in the unknown already, and the mystery and the darkness and the shadow, and we're not used to tapping into those things, I lovingly say that this is the time that we're being pushed to lean into that. Like we were talking about a bit, is part of it is losing a sense of control. Like you did your best you could. The pragmatist part of me is like, that's the bad. I don't know if bad, but that's the double-edged sword of the corporate, is while you're maintaining your job, you still have a foot out because you're still updating your LinkedIn, you're still updating your resume. Like you're never even committed to what you're in because you're still having to see what could be. If am I gonna get fired? Am I gonna get laid off? Is this whole AI is taking jobs? Like it's all these things. And so I lean into spirit. I've been cultivating this practice of one tarot card a day, but it could look like anything for anybody, prayer, meditation, but something that's like, let the universe speak to you, or whatever you want to call that, because I feel like these are the moments where it's like, don't try and figure it out. Let the solution come to you.
That's exactly it. I mean, if you are meant to remember your soul's mission in this lifetime and you are on a path that isn't that, the universe will move you. So it's cons when you get to a place where everything's unfolding for you, not being done to you, it's such a place not only of peace, but you get to meet the moment where it is and you get to respond rather than react from a place of fear, scarcity, lack. Because when you do the work of being connected to God, source, universe, creator, you remember and you feel at the soul level that you are always guided, protected, taken care of, and you're always okay. And if that's your fundamental truth, then isn't it true that everything's always unfolding for that? And believe me, it takes a while to get there. I mean, it takes practice and work to get there.
And I think you said something about this that, like, the hardship, or maybe someone mentioned it, that it's a joy, like, it's a relief. Because I think there's a part of us that I even was telling my husband, I mean, transparently, I try to be as an open book as much as I can to tell people, even though I do my best to coach and guide people about this, I'm living it too. Like, I'm not on top of the mountain telling you all the answers. I also feel like, would I have been able to commit to the business if I had all the savings, if I had all of it? Like, if everything was as exactly idyllic as I would have liked it to be, would I still have made the choice? And when I mean, this was literally 2 weeks ago, my contract ended, and I was confronted, like, I don't think I would have, because of the safety thing. I've been so used to, oh man, it's nice to get a certain amount every rhythm, and it's nice knowing. And I think that, and I said this to a friend of mine, I feel like that's one of the biggest fallacies, is like when we look at nature, nature's not always in this abundant period. Sometimes there's droughts, sometimes there's famine. And it's scary because we're so used to, okay, let me order that thing, let me go down that store, let me go, and I can just get what I need now. But what if we didn't have avocados from, Peru or Guatemala or whatever? Like, what if we just lived within our means and what we had, and we would adapt easily? So I just say that as someone living from that, like right now, it's really freeing. Like, in that is a freedom of, I don't have to maintain all this stuff. So yeah. So please, if anyone is in that, just, I know it feels very blasé to say everything will be okay, but it really will, like in ways that we don't even understand yet, but they will work out for your highest good.
If you allow it. Yes, absolutely. Where can we find you and support your work?
Thank you. Yes, I live primarily on Substack. My newsletter is called Inside the Shift. So you can find me on Instagram, but I really live on Substack.
Amazing. And closing remarks as we wrap up.
Go easy. For anybody listening, go easy. Go gentle with yourself.
Thanks, Miriam.
Thank you so much.